It's so good to be here today, see everyone, and I'd like to say how much we appreciate your prayers over the past couple of years. And there's a verse that I often quote to folks that has been very precious to me and so many others. But it's Nahum 1:7, "The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble. He knows those who trust in him. The Lord is good." This morning I'm going to ask you to turn to the book of Colossians, where I was really blessed last night by the ministry that Brother Rex gave. You know, it's one thing when we're preaching and giving out all the time, it's good to come together conference time, not only for the saints of God, but for the servants of God. We too can be refreshed. I'm going to ask this morning we look into chapter 1. One of the things that you read, and you read particularly the prison epistles of Paul, that oftentimes in his writing, he will write the prayers that he, his burden in prayer. You could look into the book of Ephesians, you'll find there at least twice he prays for God's people, in the book of Philippians and here in Colossians. And if you read these prayers of Paul, and read them and pray them, or pray the content of them, you find that he has a desire that God's people not remain in the same state they're in. You know, some of us are, I use the term, we get 3S Christians, saved, satisfied, and stuck. We don't go any further. If you read these prayers of Paul, and of course the writings of the Apostle Paul and other New Testament writers, the desire, the burden is that we don't remain where we are, that we grow, that we become stronger in the things of God, that we get to know the Lord Jesus Christ better. And this is one of the prayers of Paul here in Colossians chapter 1. We'll read verses 9 through 14. I'm reading from the New King James. Paul says, "For this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. Lord, speak to our hearts, we pray. Oh God, we pray today, as we pray in the name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, that we will not just be hearers of the word, but help us to be doers as well. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. In this prayer of the Apostle Paul, when you read these prayers of the Apostle Paul, and this one and the others that you read in Ephesians and Philippians, you feel the heartbeat of the servant of God. You feel his longing for God's people. And as you read this particular one that we have here in Colossians chapter 1, there are 4 things that Paul wants for God's people. Not only for his people, but also, I'm sure, for himself as well. And the first thing we see in verse 9, and you know he is, when he says for this reason, of course he's looking back to what he said already. He thanked God for their faith, their love, the hope that God had given them. He thanked God for this church at Colossae, which he had never met or seen these people, met most of them at all, never been there. But in spite of that, he has a deep burden for them, and he's praying for them. And the first thing he says in Colossians chapter 1, verse 9, he says he does not cease to pray for them. And what is his desire here in this verse? He says that they may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. In other words, he prayed that they might have they might be spiritually intelligent. He didn't pray for them to receive or have dreams and have visions and have all these things that we hear today. If you listen to a lot of the, particularly the television ministry, it is directed, it's so selfish, it's so self-centered. It is on myself and what I can get. Not what I can do for the Lord, but what I can get and what I'm looking for. And Paul did not pray for any of this. Paul says he prays that they might be filled. They might have a real grasp of the things of God. He didn't ask that God give them some new experience. You know, we're living in the Christian church. There are several things that today is so foremost in the preaching and in the ministry that you hear. Experience is one of them. Another is entertainment and excitement. I think that sums up what we see today and what we hear of. But what Paul is saying here, you don't need some new spiritual experience. He says, you only have to grow in what you already have. You come to chapter 2. And he says, in the Lord Jesus Christ dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And then verse 10, he says, you are complete in him. When a baby is born in the natural realm, that baby is born with all the capacity to grow into a full adult. It has to grow, but it needs what? Nutrition. Some people, some Christians, think they can grow by addition. No. We have to grow by nutrition, the same way a baby in the physical realm. And so he's concerned that, because you see, the teachings in Colossae, or the false teachings in Colossae, were leading them into experiences and so on. And so he says, look, you don't need some new experience. You don't even need to build upon what you already have in the Lord. You are complete in him. Now grow in him. He prays that they might be filled with the knowledge of his will. He says, this is what you want. The idea of being filled, and that's not a word that, it's a word that Paul uses quite a bit, and of course we know that he's simply saying he wants us to be controlled. It's the same thing when he says in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 18, he says, be not drunk with wine, but be ye being filled with the Spirit. Be controlled by the Spirit. He wants us to be controlled here. The idea, when he uses the word filled, it's filled full. The idea, and of course, we would know exactly what Paul is talking about, because Spanish Wells, the Bahamas, traveling by boat is a common experience. When a ship is fully loaded, it is ready to leave, to be filled full is the idea. It's ready for the voyage. And the knowledge here, the word knowledge here, carries the meaning of full knowledge. Now, we don't get this by dreams and visions and experiences. We get it from the Word of God. It's through God's Word that we get this. So Paul prays that they might be controlled by God's knowledge, or the knowledge of God and the knowledge of his will. We need to desire these things. You know, you cannot grow, as was mentioned last night, you cannot grow if you don't grow from the Word. Brother Tom was mentioning a couple of nights ago that this lady was testifying that she was filled with the Holy Spirit, she was sanctified, and she didn't need to have to read God's Word anymore. Well, I don't know where this comes from. But I know the only nutrition that I get spiritually is from God's Word. It's not from something that happens, you know, once and for all. That I have to go back every day to this book to feed and to get to know the Lord more and to grow in Him.
Peter says, grow in grace. And in the knowledge, you can't see the word again, the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, of course, we know that God's will, there is the perfect will of God, but God, we need to know God's will in our lives for different things. What does God want me to do? What does God want in this particular incident? What does He want me to do in this situation? We have to go back to the Word of God, first of all. This is our chart. This is our compass. This is our guide. We cannot get it from personal experience. Sometimes that might play a part if we're in God's Word. But initially we have to get it from God's Word. And of course, as Brother Ludi was saying a while ago, from the Holy Spirit, who is there to guide us into what? All truth. I will, the Lord Jesus said, when he has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he is the Spirit of truth. And so we have Paul's prayer is that they might be filled full with the knowledge of God. This, with his knowledge. And of course, as this comes, this will bring wisdom. What does James say? If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives liberally and upbraids not. Wisdom comes from God, not from, again, pardon me repeating it, but it is sad that so many people today have gone off course, have gone off the track, and are looking for it by having some great experience, have some vision, some dream. I heard of a situation, incident some time ago where a man went to another man. He says, the Lord told me to come to you and you are going to give me some money. He says, the Lord told me this. Well, the man says, well, that's strange. I just got through talking to the Lord. He didn't tell me you were coming. And he didn't tell me that I was to give you any money. How many times you hear this? The Lord told me. God spoke to me. But many times it comes not from God's Word. If it doesn't fit in with what God's Word has to say, if it's not in conformity to the Scriptures, then I better check what I think the Lord's been telling me. You see, Paul says, I pray that you will have spiritual wisdom. Discernment. Oh, how we need discernment today. How we need to, as John says, to recognize truth from error. And again, praise God, the Holy Spirit, as John tells us, will help us to discern the truth from error. But not only so, in verse 10, he says that you may walk worthy of the Lord. That you may walk worthy of the Lord. Now the King James says, unto all pleasing, and the New King James says, fully pleasing him. Not only does he desire for them spiritual intelligence, that they might understand and appreciate the things of God and us as well, but he says, I want you also to demonstrate in your lives practical obedience to God's Word. Walking. I often say that the Bahamas, as our Bahamian people, are great talkers. You meet folk and you ask them, talk to them, begin to talk to them about the things of the Lord, and a lot of them have a tremendous knowledge of the Scriptures. But they're not walking it. They can talk it. They can speak about it, and in fact, some years ago, a preacher was talking to a man who was drunk here in the Bahamas. And he started to witness to him, and he started to quote a scripture, and he said, no. He says, you're quoting that scripture wrong. He corrected him. He had a knowledge, head knowledge. He could talk about, he knew the way of salvation better than some Christians knew it. But he wasn't walking, he wasn't living it. Paul says, this is my desire. This is what is upon my heart, that you will walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him. You see, knowledge and obedience go together. Learning and living. You can't have one without the other. When children go to school, they learn certain things. They learn these things. Sometimes as they get older and they go into other, they never use what they learn. Some do. Some go into fields where they, certain things they learn in school, that's forgotten when they leave school. But not so in the Christian life, because first of all, we never graduate from the school of God. Not in this life. And so we always should be learning, and we should be translating that into living. Walking. Walking. You see, God's wisdom will reveal to us God's will, and it'll be translated into godly walk. It'll be translated into how I live. And you'll notice the sequence. Wisdom, walk. Wisdom, walk. One of the things that you hear oftentimes today is that we don't need doctrine. We don't need doctrine. We just need experiences. Well, when you come to these writings of Paul, and particularly the Apostle Paul, because he had so much to teach on the church in the New Testament, but you will find, and the other writers as well, but the first part of their letters normally deals with the doctrine, wisdom. When you get to the second part, they begin to deal with the practical, everyday, as the old saying is, where the rubber meets the road, putting those things into practice. See, I cannot walk fully pleasing the Lord, worthy of Him, if I'm ignorant of what He has to say to me in His Word, if I'm ignorant of the teachings of Scripture. And of course, walking in the New Testament is every epistle, every book just about has, emphasizes walk, walk, walk. That you might walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him. Of course, in Romans 6:4, you have walk in newness of life. Ephesians 4:1 says we should walk worthy of our calling. Philippians 1:27 says we should walk worthy of the gospel. 1 Thessalonians tells us we should walk worthy of God. In 1 Thessalonians 2:12. 1 Thessalonians 4:1 says, we, our walk ought to please God. Ephesians 2:10 says we should walk in good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. The plan of God is that when we accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, when we were born into the family of God, we should start walking. Walking. Paul's exhortation again to the church at Ephesus in chapter 4 and verse 17, he says, do not walk as other Gentiles walk. The walk of the believer, wisdom in the Word of God and wisdom in the truth of God and wisdom in the things of God is going to be translated or should be translated into a godly walk. In Ephesians chapter 5, the emphasis there is, first of all, he says, walk in love. And then in verse 8, he says, walk as children of light. And then in verse 15, he says, walk circumspectly. Or walk above reproach. I could use the illustration talking about walking circumspectly. You know, sometimes I don't see it done as much today because, thieves are so sophisticated in what they do. But years ago, when people wanted to keep a thief from coming over into their yard, they'd build a wall, sometimes a fairly high wall, I'm sure you've seen it, and embedded on the top of the wall was a broken glass bottle. And the whole idea was, well, if somebody's going to come over to steal, they're going to have to climb over the glass bowl. You ever watch a cat walking along that wall? The cat is very careful where he walks. He's walking step by step, watching the steps. This is how we should be walking, watching our steps circumspectly. Here in the book of Colossians in chapter 4, he says, walk in wisdom toward them that are without. And what is the result of this? As Paul says here in verse 10, it will lead us, not only will we walk fully pleasing to him, we will be fruitful in every good work.
You think of this, you come to the book of Galatians, you think of the fruit of the Spirit. Well, we'll be fruitful
in every good work. Not in some good work. In everything that we do, our walk, our talk, our living should be guided and directed by God's wisdom as we receive it from him in his word. And it's walking. Walking.
He says it will be fruitful in every good work.
And you'll notice the cycle, we're increasing in what?
Going to look at verse 10,
increasing in the knowledge of God. How's my walk? Am I getting wisdom from God's word? Am I getting wisdom from the Lord? Am I seeking his wisdom that Paul prays for here? In his letter to the church at Colossae.
You know, we use the term, he is in full-time Christian work. You know what we're referring to.
But you know, really, every Christian should be in full-time, should be a full-time Christian worker. We may do things in different spheres, but there are no part-time Christians. Or there shouldn't be. Sad to say there are. Some folks are only Christians on Sunday.
We used to sing in Sunday school, I want to be more than a Sunday go-to-meeting Christian. Shouldn't be just on Sunday. It should be Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, and Friday.
Saturday.
I know why they refer to Saturday as the devil's day. It should be for the Lord, shouldn't it?
And it should be translated into my life, into my walk. Paul said, in fact, the Lord Jesus Christ said, in his teachings in Matthew chapter 5, 6, 7, but the Lord Jesus Christ said in Matthew 5, verse 16, he said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and pat you on the back.
Nobody said anything. Is that what it says?
I saw a few heads pop up.
At least I know where.
No, just say that. That they may see your good works and do what? Glorify your Father, which is in heaven. That is the purpose of it. My walk should glorify my life, my words. Whatever I do should bring glory to the Lord.
So Paul prays, and the third thing he prays for, look at verse 11.
We will be strengthened with all might according to his glorious power for all patience, long-suffering with joy. Here is the third thing he prays for. He said that we might experience in our lives the power of God, not just the power of God, the abundant power of God. And where does this come from? It comes from the Holy Spirit. The Lord Jesus said, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And what power we have at our disposal.
Power. The power of the indwelling Holy Spirit.
Unfortunately, to some of us Christians, sometimes, you know, the Holy Spirit is referred to as the third person.
And sometimes we treat him as a third person. He's God.
I know the term we use, but we need to be careful to understand that indwelling us is God, the Holy Spirit. And he indwells every believer. We could not be saved apart from the work of the Holy Spirit, as the Lord Jesus said to Nicodemus in John chapter 3. Remember what the Lord Jesus said when he talked about the coming of the Holy Spirit in John 14, John 15, John 16? He says, "It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Holy Spirit cannot come. But he says, I will pray the Father that he will send you another comforter, one like unto myself." And oh, I praise God for the ministry of the Holy Spirit in my life. I praise God that he is there, as the Lord Jesus said, to exalt Christ. There's great emphasis in segments of the Christian church on the Holy Spirit today. But I say that any ministry or any teaching that about the Holy Spirit that does not exalt Jesus Christ, there's something wrong. He says, when he is come, he will not speak of himself, he will glorify me. But oh, I thank God for the Comforter. I thank God for the ministry of the Holy Spirit in my life. Paul says that we might be strengthened with all might according to his glorious power. As we heard this morning, this is the celebration of Pentecost, the coming of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit indwells us, energizes us, and reveals the Lord Jesus Christ to us. Where he said, when he is come, he will guide you into all truth. And of course, we have the words of Paul to the Ephesian Christians again. He says we should be filled, controlled by the Holy Spirit, utilizing his power. And he says, we're going to be strengthened with all might according to his glorious power. What is this ministry of the Holy Spirit going to do in our lives? This power for all patience, long suffering, joy, patience. The idea of the word here means endurance when circumstances are difficult. Paul said to the Romans, he says, we glory in tribulation. For tribulation does what? It does what? Brings what? Patience. Patience experience hope. And hope does not make us ashamed, because the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts, poured out into our hearts by the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. It's not there sitting, this patience is not sitting in the rocking chair waiting for God to do something. It's a soldier on the battlefield, keeping going when the going gets tough. It's the runner, it's the racer on the racetrack, spiritually speaking, not refusing to stop, because he wants to finish the course. He wants to keep going in the race. Long suffering. It means restraint, self-restraint. The opposite to revenge. Patience has primarily to do in this context with circumstances, long-suffering has primarily to do with people. The Bible says that God is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And of course, if you go back into Galatians chapter 5, 22, 23, you'll find these are some of the fruit of the Spirit. And then he also says, we will experience these things. It's going to result in what? Joyfulness. Joyfulness. There will be joyful patience, joyful long-suffering. No matter what our circumstances are, no matter how deep and dark the problems of life may be, praise God. You can experience joy. The joy! Again, it's one of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. For the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering. You can experience the joy of the Lord even when it's pitch black as far as our experience is concerned. That is, the circumstances of life. Some people are often, Christians often say, well, how are you doing? I'm living, doing the best I can under the circumstances. But you can experience the joy of the Lord even in the darkest of circumstances. Because you see, joy does not depend upon what happens. That's more happiness. Joy comes from the Lord. In the book of Nehemiah, you have those wonderful words, the joy of the Lord is your strength. Paul's most joyous letter is the letter to the church in Philippi. And where did this all begin? Part of it began in a prison, in the dungeon, with his feet in the stocks, perhaps his hands manacled to the walls on chains. It's midnight. Their backs are lacerated and fevered. And it's midnight when they begin to sing, to pray, and to praise God. Wafting out of that dungeon comes two voices, whether they were melodious or not, we don't know, but the important thing was they were praising God. In the circumstances. Many of us would have been grumbling and complaining and saying, Lord, why did you allow this? All we were doing was your work. God had a greater purpose. I can tell you, beloved, from personal experience, when it's darkest, when it seems the bleakest, try praising the Lord. Start worshiping Him and praising Him. And be occupied with His greatness and His glory. And to yield yourself to the fact that God is sovereign. And the joy of the Lord indeed becomes your strength. Joy. This comes about through the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Very quickly, I'll just touch on this. The fourth thing he prays for is that they might be thankful. We sang a hymn last night that it always blesses me. In December 22 in Redemption Song. For all the Lord has done for me, I never will cease to praise Him. You know, so oftentimes, the devil will get us to focus on negative things. But when we focus on the Lord and we begin to think of what He has done, and of course it begins with His love demonstrated for us at Calvary, and we go from there, we begin to realize we have so much to be thankful for. Verse 12, he says, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Let me just mention some things here. We won't have time to elaborate on them, but you take time. I hope this will whet your appetite today. And sometime during the day when you get a chance, go over these things and say, oh, Lord, there's so much I have to thank you for. Lord, forgive me for grumbling and complaining. Lord, forgive me. What do I have to thank the Lord for? Number one, he has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Qualified us as sons of Adam. This could never take place, but blessed be God, we are the children of God. We have been redeemed. We are in the family of God. And he has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Sometimes, in talking with some Christians, you know one of the things they say? I'm nobody. No, you are somebody. You are a child of God. You are somebody who is loved by the God of the universe. The creator and sustainer of all things. He says, I have loved you with an everlasting love. He has qualified us. Beloved, we have, as the scripture says, we are heirs and joint heirs with him. Look at verse 13 very quickly. He has delivered us. Delivered us from what? From where? He has delivered us from the power of darkness, the kingdom of darkness, the power of darkness. In Ephesians, Paul says, you were darkness, now are you light in the Lord. Think of the unbelievers. They are darkness. We are light. He has delivered us from the power of darkness. Not only so, but then thirdly, he has translated us. He has conveyed us. Where? Into the kingdom of the Son of his love. The idea here is what history tells us happened to the original inhabitants of the Bahamas, the Cayans. The Spanish came and they conveyed them from these islands to Hispaniola, to Cuba, and so on. They were translated, they were conveyed from one place to another. Blessed be God. He has conveyed us. He has translated us out of the darkness, out of the kingdom of darkness, out of the power of darkness. And he has brought us into his kingdom, his glorious kingdom of the Son of his love. Verse 14, he has redeemed us. Redeemed us with his precious blood. You are redeemed, says Peter, not with corruptible things, such as silver and gold. Have you ever thought of that? Silver and gold are those things which people will die for. Peter says they're corruptible. He has redeemed us, he says, not with corruptible things such as silver and gold from your vain conduct received by tradition from your father, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb, without blemish, without sin. We can sing that beautiful old hymn, Redeemed. How I love to proclaim. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed through his infinite mercy, his child and forever I am. Redeemed! He has redeemed us. And the price that was paid for our redemption. The release of a prisoner by the payment of a ransom that was done with the precious blood of Christ. Hallelujah.
you have been redeemed.
Verse 14 says, He has forgiven us. He has forgiven us. The word forgiveness means to send away or to cancel a debt. Christ has not only set us free, but praise God, He has canceled the debt. Paid in full. When He cried from the cross, "It is finished! Paid in full!" We've got to start thanking the Lord. But you'll notice the progression in this prayer. It starts that we might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Beloved, if we're not getting something from this book, if we're not feeding from God's Word, if we're not living in daily contact with Him, remember this. You cannot live physically on yesterday's food. You cannot live spiritually on yesterday's food. The moment our Christian experience gets in the past tense, we are only a pretense. We have to keep her. And so, seek, and as Paul prays here, seek God's will. Walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him. Strengthened with the power of the indwelling Spirit. And be thankful. You say, Brother David, you don't know. I haven't had very much to be thankful for lately. You don't know until you start thanking the Lord. And start thinking of what He has done. And just thank Him for these things and so many others. It's going to make a difference in our lives. Paul said to the Philippian Christians, "Rejoice in the Lord always, and again, I say, rejoice." May the Lord bless His word to us today, encourage us to go out into the day. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Thy word this morning. We thank You for this prayer of the Apostle Paul, for the Colossian believers and for all saints, because it is recorded in the sacred scriptures, so that we might grow in these things. Oh God, give us a desire to have spiritual wisdom. Lord, give us that strength to walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, to draw upon the power of the indwelling Spirit as we yield and surrender to Him. And Lord, to have a thankful spirit. Father, help this to be done in our lives for Thy glory, we pray. And now for the food that we are about to partake for the breakfast time. Bless our fellowship together. And we pray, Father, that our lives, as we fed upon God's word, and as we will feed throughout this day, Lord, that we will indeed be different. This conference will not just be another conference, but it will be a time of spiritual refreshing in the presence of the Lord. And bless the physical food to our bodies, we pray, as we give thanks for it. In our Savior's precious, precious name, all of God's people can say, Amen. Amen.